It's such a great delight for me, who lived with the poems in my hands and in my head, to hear them read out loud. And I'm going to read a couple tonight as well. I've read Jen's Wiki's already, and this poem is by Joanne Dionne. She's primarily a nonfiction writer from Victoria. She's doing an MFA in creative nonfiction right now. But she lived in Japan when she was in her early 20s and wrote this poem. And I've never seen another poem by her, actually, but I love this one. And I'm going to read it. It's called Hideto. It's got one Japanese word in it, which just is grandpa, ji-chan. Hideto. Hideto, a voice calls from outside. I look up from the table, out the window to ji-chan pacing in the rain. Round and round a puddle he steps, house slippers soaked, cardigan drooped. He calls for his grandson, then slips in the mud. Hideto, I shout at the ceiling, fluorescent hum and raindrops. A door creaks open, steps. Hideto, your grandpa just fell down. I know, he says, I was watching. Hideto. And that's Joanne Dionne. Please welcome our next reader, Jay Ruzewski.
Thanks, Yvonne, and thank you for this book. It's a beautiful book. It came out really well, and it's a lot of work to make this happen. And Ursula, too, thank you. It's really come out well, and thank you all for reading. I love just great for me just to sit and listen to y'all. I don't even want to be here reading. Just listen more. It's my birthday yesterday, and so I'm of course thinking about mortality, and this poem works right into that. Dead Bear Elegy. I guess this is about loss or the inevitable, the way that sooner or later we, and by that of course I mean you, will leave the body and the knot of you will be tied off and the book of you will trail into something, into ellipses, as if there was something more you wanted to do or talk about. A drive along the coast you always wanted to make but put off, thinking you'd do it later, another day, when the light was better or you had more time, just a bit more time. Those little jobs around the house, you wanted to seal the crack where the wasps were getting into nest. You wanted to paint the kitchen red and Latin dance your way through the preparation of meals. Because I smelled her before I saw her, I was jogging along the tracks, pacing my steps with the ties, careful not to twist an ankle, and also listening for an off-schedule locomotive. She was her own death camp. The scent of her smote my olfactory senses so hard I recoiled. I knew not what fetid emissary of the afterworld awaited as I searched for the origin of that putrid odor and felt a sword edge at my gut that was the fear of finding what? What worst was there holding a blade to me? A person? No. A child, missing and now found, unfortunate, by me. There was a dead bear beside the railroad tracks, and she was the Souk Hills in evening. She was a glimpse of the arch of a sea creature frozen, timeless, before sliding below the surface. She was a coat worth $4,000 casually tossed on the bed at a Hollywood party, dead about a summer month. She had crawled over a bank after the train struck. She was a gargantuan shoulder of meat that once had felt her senses blossom as she ambled over a ripe salmonberry bush, had stood on hind legs to catch the scent of an elk calf, had herself given birth to two squirrel-sized cubs. As months went by, the smell faded like the last notes of a song, and then the hump of her collapsed into a rug, and then into a scattering of iron filings around bright white bones, a hip, the bald fist at the end of a femur. And I ran along the tracks, careful not to twist an ankle, although my own bones rubbed in their sockets and my muscles protested, and I felt them.
Yeah. Thank you, Jay. Great to hear it read. Thanks. Our next reader is Anne Graham Walker. Please welcome her.
Hi, everybody. Can you hear me? Really soft. Can you hear me? Oh, I just want to say one thing. My first two teachers, when I came to Cape Breton from from Nova Scotia, are in this room, and they kind of nudged me from journalism into poetry. So I just want to say thank you, Jay, and thank you, Ursula. It's because of you partly that I'm here right now. I'm sorry, I've had bronchitis and my voice is still a bit rough. I just want to ask you, I don't know if this has ever happened to you, when you witness something and you know you've witnessed something that's big for you, and you say to yourself, but I'm never, never going to write about that.
Never.
And then you've had a few glasses of wine and you're talking to your partner, and yeah, you really should write down, no, I'm never going to write about that. And then like 10 years later, you're kind of just walking along, minding your own business, and the first line comes into your head, and you think, oh fuck. That's the story of this poem. Okay. A place like this. The son in this story and the daughter have paid extra money to be present when their mother is burned. She's waited 2 weeks for her slot in the furnace. They need to know the body is her. The mother's face shriveled leather, her jaw somehow bigger as if startled by her square pine container. They scatter petals on her once green irises, leached like sea glass. One petal falls into her mouth. The furnace attendant in this story wears dirty clothes, stained with booze and fried chicken. His job comes with free lodgings. Down the corridor from the chamber, he's become impervious to the smell, to the 3-hour searing between body and powder. He breaks the silence with a grunt, gestures for the son to pull the switch. Could have made $50 salvaging that pine box. So, cluttering the loading zone, his heap of used but unburned cardboard coffins. Scribbled on with black marker, the names of the dead. The mother in this story, right up to the end, wore color-matched shoes and Miss Your perfume. She would have rather died than lie down in a place like this. Have I cheered you up now?
Thank you, Anne Graham Walker.